Oh, no. All right. There we go. Well, it's, like Brandon said, it's been a while since I've done this, but I'll try to keep it short. I know we've got a lot of anticipation of school starting tomorrow for some. Believe me, she had a break this summer, but God knows she needed it. So for all the teachers that, let's see here, there we go. For all the teachers that are starting back tomorrow, God bless you. You got a rough road to hoe. I thought going into the prison was a tough feat, but that's nothing compared to teaching these kids. I'll tell you what's the truth. She comes home with those stories, and I'd much rather deal with the inmates than I had. Before we get started tonight, I was real proud of my son this morning. He did an outstanding job. As always, that's something that an earthly father can't take credit for. That's an anointing that only comes from our Heavenly Father, and I'm proud of him for his steadfastness in God, and he's lived it. So when he tells you something, there's something to be said about it. It's not just a thought that comes to his mind. He's been in the trenches, and he knows what he's preaching about. And that's praise God. I just hope I can do y'all justice tonight. Count on our Heavenly Father for that anointing once again. We'll be taking our text out of 1 Samuel chapter 5. Oh, I'm sorry. The stand. How about that? All right. I was trying to hide, but I should have known better than that. Now that's I think I can read it from here. I got my microwave. My micro vision goggles on here. I tell you, when they told me, I used to pick on some of the guys. They were welders, and we all worked on the same job, and I'd pick up their shield occasionally to make a tack, and they had what they call a cheater lens in it. And man, that made that welding rod look the size of a pencil. And I'd laugh, and I'd tell them, "God, you must be blind." And they always would tell me, "Said, you stay in this trade long enough, your day's coming." Well, now I get to hear all the comments about the Coca-Cola lens in my welded shield. But that's to be expected. It comes with age, and praise God, it's good that you live long enough to use one of those. What spawned this message was I've been in the ministry now, in the prison ministry, for going on 12 years now, I believe. And but I can see the tides changing. I mean, the attitudes are becoming more and more aggressive toward God. Going into cell blocks, we have a lot more disruptions from the inmates until the anointing falls. And this message, when I was actually studying for it, I was thinking about the inmates in mind, but then I began to understand that it's not just for them, it's for us also. We become complacent in our everyday lives, and our expectation of God is more like, what can he do for me? And I had the I'll tell you all this quick story, and I'll get right into it. I had the Friday off. I was telling my son, he began preaching this morning. He preached his sermon this morning. I said, "Man, that was just for me." Because I got out there, and I've got 3 boats in my yard. And Friday, I took a day off. I said, "I'm going fishing." I said, "Let's go fishing." We were both excited. "Oh, yeah, let's go fishing." Hadn't been fishing much at all this year with the boats. So I back up to boat number one. I hook up to it, and to no avail. We put over at the dock in a roar. Motor cranks up. It's not running quite right, but I figure, you know, it's been sitting up a little while. Once I get out there and run a little bit, everything will work out. I go to turn the steering wheel, and lo and behold, steering cable I thought had broke. Oh, man. So rather than let that be the end of it, I hooked backed the truck back down there, put the boat on there, went back and got boat number two. I said, I'll take Old Faithful. She's 25 horsepower Yamaha. I'll take it and we'll go. Awesome. We loaded the boat up for the second time. Get down to the dock. Crank it up. I go to park my truck and I come back and I notice anybody that's ever messed with an outboard, you've got a stream of water that comes out of the back of it. That's what cools the motor, and it's not pumping water. So by this time, I'm beginning to get irate, to say the least. So I'm down to the last boat. I back that thing down in the water. I crank it up, and it begins to smoke like somebody has. And I begin to do just what Brandon said. God, what have I done? What did I do to deserve? All I wanted to do was take a day to go fishing. Oh, my God, I can't even do that. I mean, I'm just ranting and raving. Finally, I told her, I said, come on, we're going to have to go down there and fish off the piers if we're going to fish, because we're not going to be able to take a boat today. At first, she said, let's go do that. And I was so mad I didn't even want to fish off the pier. But this is just a reminder of where we stand and what we seek from God on a daily basis. It shouldn't be what God can do for you, but rather what we can do for God. I oftentimes get look to God about benefiting me. But really, when we become servants of God, we're to serve God. We're to serve humanity. And oftentimes, when we get in the church, we begin to expect something from God because of our service. Excuse me. Do what? Yeah, I'm fine. But as I began to study this story, you're going to see in the near future this come to pass even more so in this time. And this starts at chapter 5, verse 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and bought it from Ebeners unto Ashdod. Basically, what's happening here is, let's see if I can get my notes here straight. Dagon was the chief god of the Philistines. They believed this god was sent rain and assured a bountiful harvest. But the Philistines, like most of the heathen neighbors, worshiped many gods. The more gods they could have on their side, the more secure they felt. And that was why they wanted the ark. And they took it. They defeated the Philistines defeated the Israelites and took the ark of the covenant. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face on the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Now, oftentimes when we're referring to these idols that they worshiped, we sometimes forget of all the idols that we have in our lives. Even those boats that I was just recently talking about. I believe God wants you to have a good time. I believe that He wants you to enjoy your leisure time to some degree, as long as you keep the right attitude. It's not owed to you. And you shouldn't be expecting God to do above and beyond what He does for anybody else. He tells us in His Word, if you give a glass of water in My name, then in no ways you shall lose your reward. In other words, anything, no matter how small or minute it may seem, is service to God, and we shouldn't be expecting something in place of it. I don't know how many times you've done it, but when you do something for an individual, are you expecting something in return? As a child of God, we shouldn't expect anything. God blesses us plenty. And I had to sit down on the steps of the place next door and kind of take a deep breath and look around at all that God had blessed me and realize just how foolish I was acting. Just because I didn't have my way, I fell down there on the ground and had a little temper tantrum like a five-year-old. But, you know, it's and she sees me get that way. She knows that she just goes to the house and she knows God will take care of it because he always does. And it just takes me a little time sometimes to let God speak to me in a manner which I'm used to him doing. But what happened when they arose early in the morning and they found Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both palms of his hand were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Now they're experiencing something. They've never seen the power of God in the manifestation in which they're seeing it. You're going to see this world take a drastic turn here soon. I, like Pastor was talking about Greece, I got to thinking about what he said and how they went to sleep that night and everything was kosher. They got up the next morning and they had no money. They had no ways, no means of taking care of their business because without funding, you're not going to be able to do anything. Well, Greece is nothing compared to the United States as far as financial money is concerned. So when it happens, it's going to be total chaos in the United States. Do I believe it's going to happen? Absolutely. I believe these people that have, and you know, I see it all the time from our celebrities and other people that they're standing up and denouncing God in such a fashion. I mean, they're not coming right out and saying it, but their actions are speaking louder than their words. They're not threatened by God in the least. Just as the Philistines weren't. They defeated the Israelites, so what did they think? They thought that they had naturally defeated the God of the Israelites. But God can't be defeated. We're not in any shape, form, or fashion going to be able to stand against the God of all of creation. These Philistines are standing up, and they've put him right in their place of worship, right beside Dagon. And now he's fallen in front of them. They stood him back up. Now he's fallen again. This time his head falls off in his hand. I mean, how many times are we going to see this happen and realize that what's going on around us? I look at Christians today as a whole. We just lost our compassion to reach the lost. I know it's hard. Believe me, I've been doing the prison ministry now, like I said, going on 12 years, and I've never felt the evil. I mean, you know, we watch the news a lot of times before we go, and we know there's people in there on multiple murder charges and all kinds of heinous crimes and felons and of anything you can imagine. And when you walk in there, they don't reverence God at all. Until the anointing, until you begin to speak God's word audibly. And what does God say? My word will go out and not return unto me void. But I've seen them. I've seen their whole continents change, just like the Philistines. Can you imagine what they felt like when they walked in there at their place of worship that morning and saw that statue that they had made broken in all these pieces laying all on the floor? And it was probably pretty shocking. I mean, but the God we serve, you'll never have to worry about him falling and being broken into pieces. And irregardless of what anybody else says, they're going to see it in these last days that God is going to reign supreme. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came into the Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and destroyed them, and smote them with Imrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. I looked up that that was tumors. Imrods were tumors. Some believed it was some form of a plague. But God has a way of getting our attention. Now, what's so ironic about this is the Philistines had heard numerous times how the Egyptians came up against the God of Israel and failed. Yet we preach every time we go into the jail, any time we in a pulpit, we preach about the power of God, and yet they still look in amazement about what we're saying. I can't get over the fact that the presence of God comes into there, and you see people start squirming, start moving, start coming uneased about what they're coming up against. And they're not coming against me. They're coming up against the anointing of God, and it's blowing their mind. And this is what these Philistines are experiencing. They've never seen anything like this before. They've heard about it. But until you're in the presence of God to that magnitude, you don't have any idea of what's going on. So they sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, "What shall we do with the ark of God of Israel?" We're looking at a generation of kids now, and it's amazing to me. When I talk to these young guys on the job where I work, and I ask them, I said, what is it that you believe? Because when you go start talking about God or about their affiliation with the church or anything like that, they kind of roll their eyes. And I've even had a couple of them say, "Man, I don't believe in nothing." And it's a shame. But it's more and more prevalent on the job now than it was, say, 15 years ago. I'm working in a place where I come across, I don't know, probably 100 different people in a week's time. And when I get a chance to talk to them, we get together, and I begin to share with them a little bit, or they begin to look at you like you're speaking a foreign language. No remorse at all about the way they talk or what they do, how they carry themselves. You can look at the divorce rate and tell that we're raising a generation of children that don't know God at all. I was counseling a young man the other day on the job, and I was telling him to stick it out, try to work it out with his wife. But he had already been involved with another young lady, and he decided that he didn't want to try to work it out. And that's what you're up against on a daily basis. But we have to remain steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. We have to look to God for the solutions to these problems. Now, as these people came together, and the Philistines came together, they began to contemplate what to do. And it's amazing to me, all the people we have that are willing to give you advice about what you should do. The Dr. Fields and the Ofrey Winfreys and all the people that are willing to give you advice on how to turn your life around. But I'm here to tell you, and I've shared it many a times, if anything comes out of their mouth that'll help you any at all, it was in the Word of God first. I heard Dr. Phil, and he's a born-again believer, for what I understand. But he was telling them how to have successful marriages. And it's been in the Bible for 2,000 years, how to have a successful marriage. You know, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. When you put somebody else before your own needs, it's gonna reflect that in them as well as everybody that you come in contact with. I was on a job the other day, and it was hot, man. I just carried 4 or 5 bottles of water out, passed it out to the guys, and they couldn't believe that, man. They was looking at me like, "Man, what's with you?" "Well, it's just water to drink. It's hot." we're not able to leave the job that we're on. I thought you guys might want some water. But they're not used to anything like that. And I began recently to carry a cooler so I could keep water in it and ice and everything so that the guys could get something to drink. It wasn't nothing big, but it was something that showed God's kindness, you know, to reach out to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And even the sinners, you know, even the so-called atheists. I've never really truly met an atheist. I've had a lot confess that they were, but I've never seen one that didn't get in a bind that didn't call on God. All right, let's see. They sent for and they gathered the lords of the Philistines unto themselves and said, "What shall we do with the ark of God?" And they answered and said, "Let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark. Now they're passing the buck. They're wanting this thing gone from where they're at. Because everywhere that it goes, it's bringing trouble and hardship. Even though their intentions were to make their life better with the ark, it quickly evolved into making their life miserable. And you know, I like sharing with people the gospel of Jesus Christ because even if they're not expecting something, they get something. Even when they come in hopes of disrupting the service or doing something with a tint of making a joke or something out of it, that's when God seems to do the most. I mean, it never fails. The guy who's making the most noise, that's trying to disrupt the service, will be one of the first ones to put his hands up and ask for salvation. It never fails. And that's what's so rewarding about the jail ministry within itself. How long do they walk that walk? That's not up for me to decide. They have asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, and I'm content in that. I put it in God's hands and hope that it'll work out for the best. So they gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, and they said, "Send it away, the ark of God of Israel, and let it again to his own place, that it slay us not, our people." There was a deadly destruction throughout all the cities. The hand of God was very heavy there. They were meeting total chaos everywhere that ark went. And what the whole point of the message tonight is that when we take the Ark of Covenant and we take the Word of God with us, then we're empowered and we don't have to fear what they're going to say. Now they just sent us through all these classes on sexual harassment classes at the plant where I work at. They've made some of the gestures that people were saying and doing. They said, "Look, we're going to have to change this." And I was kind of glad of it because it was really getting totally out of hand. And we're beginning to get more and more women on the job, and there was guys. We got radios that we communicate with, and they were wolf whistling on the radio and doing all kinds of stuff. So it was, they might have meant it as a joke, but it became more and more prevalent that they're losing their respect for not only themselves, but for everybody else. The United States of America is in serious trouble. We have turned our back on God in every walk of life. Even as the church as a whole, we're not doing all we could do. My brother was telling me this weekend he left to go to New York City to minister up in the, I believe it was the Harlem area. I'm not really sure, but he's going up there. And let me tell you something. He's going to need the anointing of God with him. He's going up there and he's going to witness and pass out tracts. And that's something that they're totally not used to up there, I can assure you. I don't know. I've not really ever visited New York City, but I can only imagine what he's going to come back and share with us. I'm looking forward to it. I really am, because him and his son Chad went. And you can rest assured that the Philistines are there. They're waiting on them. But we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear anyone. They keep bringing up this ISIC group, whatever they are, what they're trying to do. But we don't have to fear them. Their God is going to bow before our God, just as Dagon did. We're going to meet opposition. That's only natural. But what we have to be willing to do is stand our ground. I'm not saying go to war with people. I'm saying don't compromise. You know what's right and what's wrong. You know what you can do and what you need to do. And if God lays it upon you, just do it. I find myself in opposition with a lot of people, but it never goes, you know, to the extreme. But I always find that God gives me the word that'll send them walk away with them chewing on something. You know, they're thinking about it. And that's all you got to do. And I've been more and more gaining more and more confidence in the last few months about what God's doing, for the simple fact that you see it in their faces. They're puzzled. They don't know what to do. Anxiety is running at an all-time high. We have had more people at work with all kinds of physical ailments from anxiety, stress, one thing versus another. We're working a lot of overtime hours and putting in a lot more time than we used to put in, and it's beginning to take its toll throughout the workplace. But what I keep counting on is not my ability, but God's ability to make it through this. We're seeing in these last days, even though Brandon hit on it this morning, where evil abounded, grace much more abound. We're going to see God continue to step up to meet the opposition. And what we have to do is not to fret. What I'm seeing, and even in our local churches, is they're still beginning to reach out in their communities first and foremost, and that's what they should do. But you're beginning to see, I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but our attendance here has picked up somewhat. I thank God that we've got, and I mean, they're not the same old faces, if you know what I mean. They're beginning to be some new and young people come in, and that's awesome. I'm looking for God to really explode upon this church, because we've got fantastic praise and worship for one thing. My hat's off to all of you that participate in the praise and worship team, because you usher the Spirit of God in here, and that's where it all begins. And I don't care who comes in the church doors. I'm really not particular about who they are. If they come seeking, we want them to find what it is that they're looking for. And I believe that God's gearing us up for that. I believe the Christian is he's being pushed into a corner, but he's going to make a stand here in these last days. We're going to see Dagon fall before us again, as he has in the past. He's not going to be able to continue to threaten us with fear. You know, I don't know if y'all kept up with the statistics or not, but how many people in the ministry in foreign countries have lost their lives? I had it one time wrote down. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, the people that have forfeited their lives in foreign countries and were given opportunity to escape. I forgot how many it was now. I want to say it was like 20 that were lined up, and they gave them all an opportunity to, all they had to do was deny Christ. And you know what? That didn't come from their want to. It wasn't because they were intelligent, I mean, to the point where they had figured this thing all out. It was the anointing of God that gave them the power to say, it's okay, I'm not afraid. I'm willing to sacrifice my life for this cause. And I don't think they'll ever regret it. I'll be honest with you. I just hope that if the day comes that I have to do it, that I'll have that same bravery, that I'll be able to do it without fear of denouncing God in any shape, form, or fashion. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll be able to do that. Friend, you won't know until that day comes. I hear a lot of big talk where I work at. There's a lot of people to say a lot of things about what they can do and what they can't do. But when the rubber hits the road, it's a whole different ball game. So that's why I say that. I pray that God will give me the ability to. And some people say, well, we won't be here when that happens. I wouldn't count on that, brothers and sisters in Christ. I wouldn't count on that at all. I know God is a protector of his people, but sometimes sacrifices are made for a greater reason. I've seen it time and time again that people leave good paying jobs, houses that they owned and everything, get rid of it all and go overseas to minister in a foreign country at the drop of a hat. And I believe that you're going to see that more and more people come into the ministry, and they're going to have a boldness about them like we've not seen in many, many years. All right, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months, and the Philistines called the priest and the diviners. That's basically I guess that's their magicians, right? Saying, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us wherein shall we send it to his place. And they said, if you send it away, the Ark of God of Israel, send it not empty. Now I like this because you know, they said, look, and you got to admire these people because they're putting a little bit of rational thought into what they're doing. Look, we've made him mad. We better make this thing right. So they're going to send them back. They're going to send the Ark of the Covenant back with a lot of money. They're going to send it back in hopes to appease God, that maybe he'll lighten up on them a little bit. And they said, what shall we shall be? Let's see. I lost my place. Oh, it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. They said, then said they, what shall be the trespass offering? What shall we return to him? They answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on all you all and your lords. Now, there was 5 of them with 5 different lords, and they sent mice as a token of who they were. I thought that was pretty amusing. They said, you know, we're going to send these 5 mice. And as representation of the diseases that they were carrying, they sent 5 emeralds. And wherefore, ye shall make the images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Now, that was how ironic this story has turned around. They've gone now from boasting about the victory over the Israelites to now, not only they're going to give it back, they're going to give it back with gold or money. And I find that to be the case in these last days. You're going to see people busting this door seeking God on a level that you've never seen it before. It's not because of we're going to be walking the pews and doing all these crazy things in here. Not to say that won't happen. I'm just saying that they're going to come seeking some relief for their soul. You think about it. When you get up tomorrow morning, if you go to your ATM machine and you swipe it and it says no funds, no money, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to a world that's used to running like a sewing machine when it's turned upside down? I'm seeing it more and more. I mean, I've been watching the stock market. I don't know how many of you invest your money in the stock market, but a long time ago, I worked for this company that I've worked for 35 years, and I always thought it was a good investment to invest in the company that you work for. But I've been watching the stock market since this whole thing expired, I'm seeing the market keep going right on down, even though it's showing that we're trading and we're making money hand over fist, but it's not showing it in our stock, you know, in the money that that this stock's going for. Matter of fact, ours has fallen to the point that I'm beginning to get a little concerned about it because, you know, that's my retirement. But nevertheless, I've got complete confidence in God that He'll make everything work out. But nevertheless, if I get up tomorrow morning and I go to the bank and I can't get any money, how am I going to survive? What's going to happen? I mean, Christians alike are going to be in the same position that the rest of the world's going to be in. We're going to be confused. We're going to be full of anxiety. But, you know, we'll settle down, just like I did the other day on the front porch. I settled right down and realized that God is God and that everything's going to work to the good of them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. But you're going to see our last days on this earth is going to be expounding upon the Word of God and reaching the lost. Now, in closing, I just want to say, as you come against the Philistines or whoever it may be, whoever is in opposition of God, don't be ashamed. Stand your ground. Let it be known that you're a child of the King and that you believe. And even if, and I'm seeing it all the time, they revert, revert back to violence, and to when they can't seem to change your mind, they want to hurt you. They want to do things to you. But don't worry, God is gonna keep you in the palm of His hand, irregardless of what they do. I'm confident that I told y'all a long time ago. When I was up here one night preaching, that we were going to see things in these days ahead that was going to rock our worlds, and I'm seeing it more and more. I cannot express to you enough the urgency of continuing to fight the good fight of faith. A lot of people are including myself, I look at these circumstances, I become frustrated. Come anxious to do something, but without the direction that I need from God, I have to just continually preach what I'm preaching and wait for God to move in His timing. You know, I get frustrated when I see that it looks like even though we've lost the battle, the Israelites, the children of God, have lost the battle. They lost the Ark of the Covenant. But as they saw the ark come back, how exceedingly glad they were. And we're going to be glad in these last days that we were able to participate, that we were able to be servants of God. And I'm confident we're going to see Dagon fall time and time again. And Dagon is not necessarily just this idol. It's anything that comes between God and you, anything that'll allow you to be distracted from what God wants you to do. And I myself have been watching the news and keeping my eye on certain things. And even Israel, you know, I've always feared that we were going to turn our back on Israel. But you know what I've come to know? That regardless of what we do, Israel's going to stand. If we're not with them, it's not going to make any difference to God. It's the blessings will be upon us if we continue to back Israel. But you know what? If we don't, it's still going to be what it's going to be. In closing, I just would like to say, we are living in the last days. Everybody, even people that are not Christians, are seeing that there's something transpiring in the world. They know that the time is nigh. I've had more people come up and ask me questions about the Bible. And some of it was for argument's sake. Some of them saying different things. But God knows who's serious and who's not. And those that are serious, I take the time and effort to share the Word of God with them. And God opens their eyes. I've seen many a person leave with an understanding of what God wants from them. I'm going to share this with you. The tongue is a creative force. God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. Let's keep that in mind. You speak God's word and have confidence that God is going to use you in these last days. And you're going to be amazed at what's going to transpire in your life. So this time, if you want to come up around the altar, we'll have a little prayer. And have confidence that Dagon's going to fall. I know there's a lot of concerns in this world right now. A lot of people doing a lot of boasting about where's God, but God's in control. God's not afraid at all. He's not walking around heaven with a great big bottle of Maalox wondering what he's going to do. He's got this under control. Have confidence, and you'll see Dagon fall. I'm going to come up and have a word of prayer. Be glad to pray with you. And don't worry. Don't let worry and frustration get the better of you. I see that in my own life. I'm having to calm myself down more and more because I don't know about you, but man, it becomes frustrating when you see so many defy the living God, so many that have no reverence to who God is or don't care. But rest assured, these last days are going to be victorious days for the church. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity to give me this night. And as we break the bread of life, dear God, I prayed, Father, that something was said that'll stir a heart and a life. Lord, those that have anxiety about what's coming up, what's going to happen, even myself, Lord. Lord, give us that peace that surpasseth all understanding. Lord, that we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that your hand is moving on our behalf. Father, if you're for us, who can be against us? Let us stand firm upon your word, Lord, and be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and honor for all that was said tonight, and Lord, for the empowerment that you're going to give your people in these last days to watch Dagon fall. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess we're excused, right?